Today we're looking at the subject, the last candle, and those of you who are watching us at home, you can see the separate candles that have been lit, and you can watch them separately. It'll be posted later, and share it with others, because they're just powerful stories. In the first service, Agnes shared with us, and it was just a great, uplifting, encouraging time that we learned, and this message today, I think, will reinforce it. The kind of peace we're looking for today is not a trouble-free peace. It's not a problem-free life. It's something God gives us that is an anointing from the Prince of Peace. And I hope you'll be encouraged by it. In fact, I don't know if you know it or not, but people are looking for peace. In fact, Google says that peace, every year, over 1 million people search for peace on Google. Can you imagine that? Looking for peace of some type. But we know there's all kinds of ways to look for peace, places, other places to look for a type of peace. But today, we're talking about a special peace. It's a peace from God. And God made the first move. I want you to know that. We've been talking about that a lot, staff. In fact, Friday night at our dinner with staff and elders, we talked about serving a God of the first move. God is always making the first move. He loved me first before I ever loved him. How many of you know that? He pursued us. When we were yet his enemies, God made that first move. And Christmas is no exception. God made the first move when it comes to new covenant, kingdom peace. God moved first. And we find it recorded for us on the screen here. Luke 2:14 from the New King James Version. When the angels came and began to rejoice together. How many know it took one angel to make the announcement, but it took a lot of them to celebrate. And this is what they were celebrating. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. How many, when you read that, go, that quite hasn't worked out, has it? I wonder if the angels got confused and maybe heard the wrong message. Because the reality is, on this planet Earth, since recording of time and conflict of thousands of years, there's only been 250 years of peace on the planet. So maybe the angels misunderstood. Or did Jesus fail in his mission? Well, I want you to notice in those words, it doesn't say peace among men. It says peace towards men. And really, to get a correct translation of this scripture, the NIV says it best, peace to those of whom his favor rests. This peace is available to everyone, but not everyone will receive it. This peace has come through Christ, the Prince of Peace. This word for peace is interesting. In the Hebrew, we all know the Hebrew word for peace, right? What is it? Can you say it? Shalom, right? Shalom. It's a powerful word. It appears hundreds of times in Scripture. Shalom. Talking about a wall that's broken down, and they put it back together again. They say the wall has shalom. When the temple was completed, they said the temple was shalom. Oftentimes, the fragmented pieces of life would come together, and it was referred to as shalom and peace. But we're looking at the Greek word today. Actually, it's an interesting word. It means eirene. Eirene. It has a similar interpretation, used a lot through the New Testament. It literally means, and you can fill in your insert there, we have a place for you to follow along with us today. It means to join, to rest, to set at one again. To join, to rest, to set at one again. For our first kingdom peace, and you can write it down, the first gift of this new covenant peace, it's most important, it's peace with God. Peace with God. Do you remember the time in your life when you were not at peace with God? I remember a time when I was his enemy. I warred against God. We were in conflict constantly, but there came a time where peace came into my life. Some of you remember Tony Christensen, our potter, and remember he would throw the clay on the wheel, and we looked at the 7 steps of becoming a vessel of honor for God. And one of the steps, when he would take the clay and put it on the wheel, it would shake in his hands, just vibrate. Do you remember that? And it would just, and he would just hold it as the wheel turned, and he would just hold it steady, and pretty soon he said the clay would come to peace and it stopped resisting the potter's hand. And then he could begin to work with it. Do you remember when that happened to you? Peace with God. I'm going to have these scriptures on the screen so you don't have to rush to write them down. But just hear the word of the Lord. Let it minister to you. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Colossians 1:19-20. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. That reconciliation, that fits our definition, doesn't it? To make all things one and whole again. And how about 2 Corinthians 5:19? For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. I love this time of year. I love Christmas carols. We're going to do a lot of that this week. It's going to be great. But I was walking through the mall the other day, and over the PA system, I heard a great carol. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Anybody get a little excited about that, being in the city square? Hearing those words come across the PA system? Oh my goodness, it must drive the enemy crazy. What are they declaring? They're declaring what Christmas is really all about. Emmanuel, God with us. He came. He came to bring peace, didn't he? That he wanted to be at peace with us. And he created this ministry of reconciliation, which fits the definition, to bring at rest, to join, to make whole again, to restore us back into a relationship with him, no longer counting our sins against us. Is anybody a little excited about that? To have peace with God. I'm not fighting with God. I'm not wrestling with God anymore. I'm like that little piece of clay on the potter's wheel. I think I vibrated for longer than most pieces of clay, but God never took his hand off me. He steadied me, he held me, and centered me until I could come to that place of rest. Here's the second gift, peace from God. We have peace with God, but there's a peace from God. Remember the message on love. We talked about love coming to us, love being in us, love flowing through us. Well, that's very similar to peace, isn't it? Peace came to us. God made the first move. He always makes the first move. Some of us are always asking, I want to see a move of God. God's already moved. He's waiting for you to move. It's his sovereignty and your stewardship coming together. I call it holding hands. The other day, Donna sent me a text. She said, no, I call it a dance. It's a dance of God's sovereignty and my stewardship coming together because God made that first move. In Romans 1:7 on the screen, I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Elrene. Interesting to me, these two words that seem to always dance together, grace and peace, grace and peace. If you look through the New Testament, you'll see it appears often. It's a kind of a greeting that, hey, grace and peace to you, grace and peace to you. Why not love and peace? Why not hope and peace? Why grace and peace? I believe there's a direct connection to experiencing peace. It is God's grace. And if you don't have peace in your life, oftentimes where you need to look first, I mean, you're looking at your circumstances, you're looking at your problems. Really what you got to look for, look back to grace. And where does grace come from? The word declares that God gives grace to the who? Who? The humble. The humble. Oftentimes we're not at peace because of pride and arrogance, and we don't humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But when we do, his grace comes, and it appears to me that out of grace always comes peace. I mean, just to realize the grace of God that has come to me and the forgiveness of my sins brings me great peace. I no longer am struggling. I'm no longer laboring anymore by works and trying to work harder and trying to get God's favor. No, I'm at peace. I'm at peace because I have received God's forgiveness through grace, and grace and peace always go together. And if you're lacking peace, look at the grace side of your life. And if you're lacking grace, you need to go to that spirit of humility. What is humility? It is dependence upon God, to kneel before Him and surrender to Him. That will always bring peace. Keep reading in John 16, 33. Jesus said these famous words, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows." Some of your translations say trouble. "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." Isn't that a fascinating scripture? I'm glad it's in the Bible. Because I thought when I became a Christian I would have no trouble. I thought loss would not be part of my life. Struggles would be all gone. Conflict would disappear. And I would live in perfect bliss. But Jesus was telling us that's not the way it's going to be. That when you're living here on this earth, it's a broken place. You will have trouble. He said, "These things I've spoken to you," what things? He just told them what it was going to be like. He said, "There's going to be a lot of trouble, guys. You're going to go through a lot of conflict. But I've spoken these things to you so you might have peace. In this world, it will be trouble. It will be trials. There will be sorrows." The church has disengaged from this. We don't make room for sorrow anymore. But I think we experienced this morning its place, did we not? Yesterday we gathered for another loss of the same type. It's so hard. Say, what do I do with this sorrow? God says it will be present, but I'm going to give you peace and be of good cheer. Listen, take heart because I have overcome the world. J. Oswald Sanders wrote this quote, I like it. "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God." See, the world peace that people are looking for, they think, I just got to get my problems fixed. If I can just get my marriage fixed, if I can just get my finances right, if all the planets will line up just right and my life will be just bliss, I'll have peace. Oh no. Jesus said, "The peace I bring to you is not like that peace at all." In fact, when Mr. Sanders wrote that, he was reading from Matthew 8 about Jesus in the storm. You know it well, right? Jesus is crossing the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and a great storm comes up, and the disciples are afraid. And what is Jesus doing? What's he doing? He's sleeping, isn't he? Does that meet our definition of peace? Yeah, rest. Rest when? Rest in the storm. I want to get my rest when I get out of the storm. I want to get my rest when the burden is removed. But no, Jesus is sleeping in the boat. The apostles realize, hey, the Prince of Peace is in your boat. And they are afraid. And they are wringing their hands. And they look over at Jesus, and maybe you have looked at Jesus and said the same thing. Doesn't he care? Lord, don't you see what's going on around me? The waves, the storms. I feel like they will take my life any day now. And you're sleeping, God. Have you ever thought God was sleeping? The reality is, and we've often said, hey, which side of the boat are you going to be on? The apostles could have just curled up next to Jesus and went to sleep. They'd have been fine. But Jesus, they woke him up. Lord, please help us. And he said, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Did you know it's okay to be concerned about things, but you don't have to be afraid? The difference between concern and worry is fear. And God says, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. I am with you. I am bringing this peace, this rest. I am joining us, connecting us together. I am restoring and making things whole again. This is the peace that God is bringing to. How about John 14, 27? Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I guess he seems to be suggesting to us you have a role to play in this. Don't let that happen. See, remember there was another place where Jesus said, you know, hey, listen. Guys, come on, don't be afraid. Well, then you do it in me, Lord. You take away my fear. No, he wants us not. There's a part we play in that stewardship and sovereignty coming together. and we cooperate with this spirit of peace. And lastly, we all, and Izzy used the scripture today so well, Philippians 4. You know this, right? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Really? I'm not here to tell you you'll never be anxious. I'm not here to beat you down. I'm here to cheer you on. There will be times when you will wrestle with anxiety and fear. And you'll wonder the what ifs, the unknowns. It's kind of a normal human reaction. That's why Jesus said, listen, you're going to have this experience, but I am coming to give you peace. And he's telling us what to do here. He said, what you do is you let your request be made known to God, not to inform him of anything. He already knows everything, right? Can I tell your story, Matt? This week, Donna in the office gave Matt a gift. You'll think it a strange gift. It was a lunch pail, a Peanuts lunch pail. Remember those? And she said, I just felt led to get you this lunch pail. And she gave it to him, the little cartoon Peanuts on, you know, like you'd carry when you were in grade school. And Matt said, you don't know the story, do you? When I was in fifth grade, I had that lunch pail. And when I went to school, all the kids made fun of me. So when I got home, I took a hammer and I beat that thing till it was no more. I destroyed it. And now here we are. God's given Matt back his lunch pail. And I said to Matt, all day long, we said, we serve the God of the lunch pail. If God knows about the lunch pail, and he wants to restore that, what else does he know about? So all day long, we say, hey, we serve the God of the lunch pail. Right? And Matt was making some difficult decisions, you know. And I think God was trying to tell him, Matt, I know when you beat that lunch pail in fifth grade, I saw that. And I just want you to know I see you now too. And I want you to know I'm making all things new. And I'm restoring out of that time. Isn't that amazing? But when we come to God, there's an important secret here that you need to know. If you want to have this peace, anybody notice there's something in the midst of that scripture that kind of jumps out at you? He said, when you make your request, how are you supposed to do it? I know we're supposed to tell God everything that's wrong, right? As if he doesn't know. We want to make sure he knows. He said, no, you bring your request as an act of worship with what? Really? With thanksgiving. Now, my thought on this was this. I thought this is how it worked. You make your petition to God, God answers your petition, and then you express your thanks. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying you make your petition and you give thanks. What's he asking us to do? He's saying, listen, you're surrendering this to me, and you're thanking me for whatever I'm going to do. I heard a preacher say this once. It really made sense to me. He said he almost sees God standing, listening to our requests of his sons and his daughters, saying, listen, I hear your requests, but I'm going to answer your requests. I'm going to give you what you would have asked if you knew what I knew. If you knew what I knew, your request might be different, so I'm going to answer it as if you knew what I knew. Do you think God would do that? We often get all, we got to get our prayers just right. He didn't say it right. I'm not going to even hear him. Not even go. You ever have people say that to you? Oh, you got the words wrong. No. I often say, you know, when I'm praying, I know if I got it wrong, God will fix it on the way up. You know that? Because he knows my heart. Just like you grandparents know your grandkids, right? And they bring you something and say, you don't even know what it is, right? Here, Grandpa, you don't want to tell them you don't know. You just say, that's beautiful, that's wonderful. Why? Because you know their hearts. God knows our hearts. He's not nitpicking over our words. And when we come in with thanksgiving and gratefulness, We're saying, I surrender to your sovereignty. And I'm thanking you in advance for whatever you're going to do here. And you know what comes from that? Peace. Peace that doesn't make any sense in the natural. And it's going to guard your heart and your mind. And if you keep reading in that text, what does it say? He goes on. He talks about our minds. He says it's going to guard our minds. And then he tells us what to do with it. He says, dwell on the things that are worthy of praise. He gives us this big old list. Read it. Big old list. Dwell on the things that are worthy of praise and noble and awe. Man, he goes through this whole list. He says, I want you to think about those things. Instead, what do? We think about problems. We think about all the, and it takes our peace away. This peace begins with gratitude. And we say, Father, I'm just going to trust you. You're the God of the lunch pail. I want you to remember that this week. You're the God of the lunch pail. And you got me. You got me. And I'm at peace because of that. Lastly, number three, peace fruit. Peace fruit. I got peace from God, peace with God. I got peace from God. And because of that, now peace resides in me, not as the world gives. Different kind of peace. It's a fruit that grows in me. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I'm sure you've heard teachings on this. You see it. It's not plural. It's singular. I've had people say to me, you know, I'm real good at the faithfulness thing. I'm not real good at the patient thing. That's not how this works. It's not you pick and choose. It's one basket of fruit. And what's fruit for anyway? Friday night, the staff got together and the elders, and just so happened that Ray and Char Green's son, Zach, who lives in California, and he operates an orchard and a family has big, just amazing. And 2 hours before our gathering began, I didn't even know it was going to happen, a box was delivered to us. We opened it up, and it was full of fresh picked oranges, still had the leaves on them off the tree. I'm low carb. That's a problem. But we didn't let it stop us. We took one of them oranges and we filled it and we ate it. It was so sweet. It was so wonderful. And it was just in time. So everybody there got to take oranges home with them. Did you try it? Was it good? Best. Man, not like Dylan's, was it? Right off the tree. God wants you to have fresh, sweet fruit like that in your life. It comes from peace. And other people are looking at you, and when they're distraught, when they're falling apart, don't we even use that word? We say, I've just fallen to pieces, right? That kind of fits the Hebrew word of shalom, putting the pieces back together. I'm just falling to pieces. God's peace will bring all the pieces back together. He'll join us back together. He'll bring us peace. He'll make us whole again. And one of the realities of that is that it will be like a fruit in our lives that's fresh and growing. And what else? It's made to eat. What would happen if Alicia just told me, yeah, I took that orange home and I set them oranges on our table and we watched them rot. They look good, but we never tasted them. No, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to peel that orange back and take a bite of it. I think people will be like that with your life. When you're full of peace, of God's peace, people are going to want to be around you. They're going to want to pick the fruit off your life. They're going to say, what makes you different? When everybody else is falling to pieces, you have the... I'm not saying you're in denial. You're not in denial. In fact, all the folks who shared today, they're very real about the problems. We're not in denial about our problems. They're real. But even though, like Jesus said, trouble's here, but I've got peace. And my heart is guarded because of that peace. How about James 3, 17 and 18? But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving. Do you love peace? It's gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. You see the importance of this peace? It's not just for you to feel good. It's to bear fruit in our lives. It's not just to fix everything that's wrong. In fact, it may get worse before it gets better. Or it may never get better. But God's peace will always be present. As we close today, I want you to take your paper and turn it over. And you'll see on the back side of that paper a little acrostic. You didn't think we'd get by with that one, did you? I call this the ledger. And I'm going to ask you a question today as we look at this ledger. Which side of the ledger are you on? Jesus said, I give you peace, but not as the world gives. That means there's a worldly peace. How do I know? How do I know if I'm in God's peace or worldly peace? Well, let's just look at it. Number one, the letter P. If you're in God's peace, you're focused on the presence of God. Worldly peace is focused on the problems. Is it true? Listen to people. It's all about their problems. If I just had more money, God had just fixed my marriage, my children, they're out of control. Lord, if you could just bring peace in my home with my kids. What kind of peace is it you're seeking? It is God's presence that brings you peace, not the absence of problems. How about the letter E? God's peace is eternal. The world's peace is earthly and temporal. God's peace, it lasts through the storm. Nothing can shake it. Jesus said, no one can take it from you. It will always be present in your life, unless you're on the wrong side of the ledger. And what you're calling peace is something else. The worst possible news you could think of. I was a police chaplain for many years, and unfortunately, one of our jobs was to go to homes and knock on the door. Whenever they saw the police chaplain, it was not good news. And I was fascinated watching people receive horrible news sometimes. And I could tell who had God's peace and who didn't. I could tell. There were always tears. There was always sorrow. Even sadness was present. But so was peace. It was God's presence or the absence of it. How about the letter A? God's peace will always weaken anxiety. The worldly peace will strengthen it. Because worldly peace is always wanting to fix the problem. And so it generates anxiety because unfulfilled expectations. Things aren't happening. I didn't get that promotion. I lost my job. And so anxiety begins to grow and become stronger and stronger. But with God's peace, that it doesn't disappear. Please don't think, oh, there must be something wrong with me if I'm dealing with anxiety. No, but with God's peace, it weakens it. It's present, but it doesn't control you. God's peace controls you. How about the letter C? God's peace centers on Christ. The peace that the world offers centers on man. It's man-focused, where we are Christ-focused. And how about the last letter E? Presence, God's peace and presence is always present with us. World's peace is elusive. It comes and it goes. Depending on what's happening in our lives, we may have peace, we may not. But when we have God's peace, it is ever, ever present. So as we come to the table this morning, let's reflect back on where we started. Romans 5:1. Peace with God. This is a table of peace. When Jesus came to the cross, he was saying to us, peace. He was coming to bridge the gap. He was declaring his love for us, and he was bringing peace. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. I'm no longer working for my salvation. I don't walk in condemnation anymore if I fail or stumble, because I know that it's God's goodness, not mine. It's his righteousness, not mine. It's his work, not mine. It is his sovereignty. But then my stewardship comes into play, and I respond to his move towards me, and I do it from a spirit of peace. Not anxiety, not fretting, not always questioning and wondering. Does God love me? Have I done something wrong? Things aren't going well in my life. You're on the wrong side of the ledger. I'm encouraging you today to move to the other side. If you've drifted to this side of the ledger, I want you to move to the other side today. You'll do it at this table. This is what it's all about. This was God's first move. And now we will move in response to it. As God draws near to me, I draw near to him. Father, as we come to this table this morning, we know that the peace we have, you initiated. Thank you. I see you waving a white flag. It's not just a truce. It's becoming one and being restored, being joined together, coming to rest and making us whole. Father, that is the peace we seek today. In Jesus' name. I want to read something to you this morning before you come to the table. It's Ryan's recent letter from prison. Reading this is like reading a book of Philippians in real time. His most recent letter, he said, please pray that God would give me faith and strength and courage to rest in his will. Peace. Pray that he would help me conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel. I pray that God will help me as I spend most of my time here reading my Bible. He said, it's a page turner. In prison, I bet you'd read it differently, wouldn't you? One of the men here let me borrow his Portuguese Bible in exchange for my English Bible. So now I am brushing up on my Portuguese. But please pray for me for the battlefield of my mind. I've been wrestling with fear lately. My adversary sends terrifying thoughts into my head. So that in my flesh, I want to be in constant fear. I think about my wife and children. But the spirit which is alive and well within me trusts in the goodness of God and all of his promises, so that the spirit and the flesh, even though they're warring against one another, forces me again and again to the feet of Jesus, where I find strength. Strength so the outworking of my faith is confidence of mine. And you know how he closes his letter? And you can get a copy of this so you can read it all. He prays for us. He prays that God will give us peace. Us? Yeah. It's the fruit of peace in a very difficult situation. If Ryan can have peace, I think I can too, because I live a cushy life. Why do I struggle? Because I'm on the wrong side of the ledger. Has God spoken to you today? As you come to the table, would you just ask him if you've drifted? Because that's what happens, we drift. God's going to bring you back with his hand lovingly. He's not condemning you. He's cheering you on. You see God condemning you. No, he's cheering you on. He's saying, "You, yes, come into my peace. I want you to keep it. Don't lose it." So as we come to the table today, Father, we receive your peace. That peace that passes all understanding, and we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you take the cup and bread, I want you to think about this next scripture. It's Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I'm often leery of perfect words. There's nothing perfect in my life, doesn't seem, but it means complete, which fits our definition. El Reine. To restore, to rest, to join, to make whole again. He wants to keep you in that place, not visit, One day I got it, next day I don't. No, he wants to keep us in perfect peace. And one of the ways you do that is by keeping your mind focused on him and put your trust in him. Would you do that today? Father, as we receive this cup and bread, we hear the prophet of old. Keep us in perfect peace. We trust you. We focus our whole attention on you. And we let our mind dwell on these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3:15, not on the screen. We know this well. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. This is where we put shoe leather on that. It really means umpire, that this peace will actually take charge of our life. It will rule over us, so it will be the default of our lives. I like to think of it like calling balls and strikes. The peace of God will help bring direction in your life. You ever wondered what to do? Let God's peace be part of that decision. Let it rule in your hearts, in which we were called in one body. And there it is. Be thankful. If Ryan can do it, I can do it. If Izzy can do it, I can do it. If Agnes can do it in her situation, I can do it too. This is a great gift that God has given to us. Aren't you glad you came today? We're going to dismiss, and as we do, I'll be here to pray with you. If you would like me to lay hands on you today and pray for an anointing of God's peace, then come. And you could sit here in the front row, be patient. I'd like to lay my hands on you and just pray for God's gift of peace. Maybe it's a situation. I believe that we can start with thanksgiving and surrender whatever that is that's taking your peace. Let God give you the peace and let the other take care of itself if you'd like to do that. Amen. And as you leave today, remember, just a reminder, Christmas Eve, Papa, please understand, this is a great drama. We did it before and back by popular demand. It's Mary and her dad writing letters to each other. And we have a better camera system now, so we want to use it. The skit guys would like to have a copy of it, so we're going to be doing that Saturday night. And Hank, thank you for helping us. And then remember Christmas Sunday. This only happens every 7 years. Don't miss it. Christmas on Sunday, all right? I know we have family events, but if you can make a way to fit that in, I think it would be a special tradition because it is early for this service, late for the other service, but 10 a.m., and the children will be singing, and Diana, they have a little presentation to make for us. So it'll be a special time. Bring friends with you as we celebrate this wonderful deal. And don't forget, as you're leaving today, grab the invite. Take it with you, all right? So if you'd like prayer today, just come. Even as I'm praying, just make your way up here. If you want to bring somebody with you, that's okay. And we'll take time. I'll lay hands on you, and we'll pray. I believe God wants to answer that prayer for you today. Are you ready? You ready to get on the other side of the ledger? This is your day. Father, thank you for my friends who've gathered here today. They could have done something else, but they came here, and I'm grateful for them. I pray your blessing upon them. And this week, as many will be traveling and being with family, we need peace, Lord. Some families more peace than others, but Lord, I pray that when we go to these gatherings, we will bear the fruit of peace in our life, and we'll expect good things to happen. Thank you that this peace does not originate from us or our circumstances, but it is your very presence. Move us to the right side of the ledger. Hallelujah. We love you, Father, and we love each other in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go in God's love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.